I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
These are people who are courageously putting their lives at risk for our country, and the reward is a pink slip.
This postal plebiscite is a referendum on freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and safe schools ideology being taught to our children.
Have a read of some of the things which are said about us and our families, and then come back here and tell us this is a unifying moment.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Presidential saber rattling temporarily trumps U.S. trans military ban, Kuwait deports gay men in massage parlor rubout, and Australian activists go postal over mail-in marriage plebiscite. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Michelle Yater.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 12, 2017. The White House passed along to the Pentagon this week a guidance policy for open transgender service phase-out, making good on President Trump's July 26th tweets to end service by openly trans troops in the U.S. Armed Forces. Details of that guidance policy have yet to be revealed. Trump bragged to reporters late this week that his move to ban military service by transgender people was doing the Pentagon a big favor.
Sir, why did you decide to announce the transgender ban reversal a couple of weeks ago? And are you betraying a community that you pledged to support?
No. Look, I have great respect for the community. And I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out and just saying it. As you know, it's been a very complicated issue for the military. It's been a very confusing issue for the military, and I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
However, according to reporter Karen Oakham in the LGBTQ LA Blade newspaper, this week's fiery exchange of threats between North Korea's Kim Jong-un and President Trump have temporarily put all military personnel issues on hold, including the trans ban. Defense Secretary James Mattis reportedly sent a directive to major U.S. commands saying that the threat by North Korea is his overriding priority and that other issues were to be temporarily sidelined.
Lawsuits filed this week by active duty transgender service members are preemptively challenging any effort to kick them out. One lawsuit charges that the president's directive to categorically exclude transgender people from military service is unconstitutional, because it violates equal protection and due process clauses of the Fifth Amendment. The plaintiffs are in the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the Army, and their service includes tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. During an interview on MSNBC, John Davidson of the LGBTQ advocacy group Lambda Legal contradicted the president's claims that service by trans personnel has been a confusing issue for the military.
These are individuals who have been serving honorably without creating any disruption under a policy that was carefully crafted by the military's top leadership and that has been going fine. So there is absolutely no reason except for bigotry to not allow these people to continue to serve. These are people who are courageously putting their lives at risk for our country, and the reward is that they're going to get a pink slip.
That was Lambda Legal's John Davidson.
A report this week, co-authored by Northern California's Palm Center, a think tank that studies military service by LGBTQ people, and professors at Monterey's Naval Postgraduate School, also challenges Trump's claim that banning trans personnel will save the Pentagon a lot of money. The report projects the cost of discharging and replacing the estimated 12,800 active-duty transgender service members at close to $960 million. That's more than 100 times the estimated $8.4 million cost of providing medically necessary health care to them.
Elsewhere, the leader of a Kuwait Morals Committee announced that 76 gay men have been deported so far this year, and 22 massage parlors that were allegedly fronts for sex work have been shut down. According to a report this week in Gulf News, committee members, who include representatives from the Ministry of Social Affairs and Labor, the Ministry of Commerce, and the Ministry of the Interior, seized sex toys at the raids, along with women's underwear and makeup allegedly used by the men. Gay sex and cross-dressing are both illegal in Kuwait and other Gulf Cooperation Council countries, Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. Morals Committee Chair Mohammed Al-Dufairi told reporters that we have a zero-tolerance policy towards any morally objectionable activities, and we will not be lenient with anyone who breaks the rules or puts the health of Kuwaiti citizens and residents at risk. Ibrahim Bansir, a cleric at the Ministry of Islamic Affairs, supported the actions, warning that massage parlors may draw customers to the vice of homosexuality, which is strongly condemned and forbidden.
But a sports nutrition store in Russia has paid a rare price for discriminating against a gay job applicant. Edward Myra applied for a sales assistant position at LLC Hardcore earlier this year. When he asked why he didn't get the job, the store sent him a letter explaining that his feminine manner and being too well-groomed suggested a non-traditional sexual orientation that would be off-putting to many of their clientele. Our customers are tough guys, store spokesman Andrei Chistyakov told the independent Russian newspaper Novaya Gazeta. I wasn't only concerned about the image of the store, he said. I was concerned about this man's health. He also cited Russia's law banning the promotion of homosexuality as another reason for rejecting the application. Myra couldn't understand the excuses the store gave for denying him a job. He said the only thing that might have made him look gay was his pierced ear. Russian social media has been on fire over the rare queer court victory. One posting said that because the shop management had exposed its bias in writing, the court had no choice but to uphold Myra's claim. A lot of posts celebrated the significant amount the court awarded to Myra in damages, 30,000 rubles or about 50,000 US dollars. But another sympathized with the shop, writing that it's not their fault that the majority of Russians are not tolerant.
In other news, Canada's defense minister, Harjit Sajjan, unexpectedly danced on the Pride of Bollywood float at Vancouver's LGBTQ Pride Parade on August 6th. Sajjan has marched in other Pride parades, usually with a federal Liberal Party contingent. His security detail seemed a bit startled when he was lured by the blaring Bollywood music to break ranks with that contingent and hop onto the float and dance with other Pride celebrants for a few minutes. Alex Sanga is the founder of the South Asian queer support group Share Vancouver, which sponsors the float. He was last year's Vancouver Pride Parade Grand Marshal. This sent a very public message from a senior Canadian government minister who happens to be South Asian and Sikh that LGBTQ South Asians deserve to be treated with dignity, respect, and equality, he said. Indo-Canadian LGBTQ people often stay closeted rather than defy conservative family expectations. Sajjan is helping to break down barriers in our community, Sanga said. We thank him for that. He made our pride.
And finally,
DUP! What about me?
Northern Ireland's ruling Democratic Unionist Party took heat at this year's LGBTQ Pride March in Belfast on August 5th for its long-standing refusal to allow legislation to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. Northern Ireland is the UK's last major territorial marriage equality holdout. So it's not surprising that some members of the DUP were unhappy with the attendance at a Belfast Pride breakfast by recently elected Indo-Irish openly gay Republic of Ireland Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. 2 years ago, voters there became the first in the world to open civil marriage to same-gender couples by a popular vote. Varadkar's first official visit to Northern Ireland as the Republic of Ireland's PM came a day after the British government, for the first time, ordered an LGBTQ rainbow flag to be flown above its main office in Belfast to coincide with the city's Pride Festival. Varadkar was unable to march in the Pride Parade because he had a prior commitment. He told reporters at the Pride breakfast that he didn't intend to upset anyone by his presence. I'm not here to unsettle anyone, he said, but I am here to show my support and support of my government for equality before the law for all citizens, no matter where they reside. When he was asked specifically about the prospects for marriage equality in Northern Ireland, Varadkar was optimistic.
I think it's only a matter of time. It is, of course, a decision for the Northern Ireland Assembly, but I'm confident that, like other Western European countries, they will make that decision in due course.
From your lips to the DUP's ears, Mr. Prime Minister.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 12th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Michelle Yeader.
Just how conservative and how homophobic is Australian society? If the government's proposed postal marriage equality plebiscite goes forward, it may answer those questions more effectively than it will ultimately resolve the matter at hand. Australians consistently say yes to equality in opinion polls, but their right-leaning two-party ruling coalition is torn on the issue and nearly ruptured a week ago. So, with marriage equality dominating the headlines down under, we turn to This Way Out correspondent Barry McKay in Sydney.
Well, last week has certainly been a hectic week in Australia for the LGBTIQ community. Marriage equality protesters gathered at Sydney's Town Hall on Sunday the 6th of August, calling for a free conscience vote in Parliament on same-sex marriage in Australia.
What do we want?
Marriage equality!
When do we want it?
Now!
On Monday last week, the governing Liberal Party held a party room meeting in Canberra to ascertain what the party's position on same-sex marriage would be. At the end of the previous week, five rebel Liberal MPs had drafted a private members' bill seeking to introduce same-sex marriage into the Parliament as a conscience vote. The more conservative side of Australia's Liberal Party has always been staunchly opposed to the idea. There were fears that the issue would tear the conservative side of Australian politics apart, as the party only holds a very thin majority in the House of Representatives. The so-called rebel MPs backed down in the name of keeping the party unified. The issue had also threatened Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's tenure. As a progressive Conservative, he had always expressed his support for marriage equality in Australia. Members of the Australian Marriage Equality Advocacy Group expressed their disappointment in the outcome at a press conference in Parliament House in Canberra that evening. Alex Greenwich.
The government has yet again decided to delay, drag on and disappoint people from coast to coast.
Later that evening, Special Minister of State Matthias Cormann, who would be responsible for the plebiscite, was interviewed by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's journalist Emma Alberici on the ABC's Late Line program.
A friend of my daughter's, a 15-year-old boy, came out as gay last week to his parents and was kicked out of home. Now, whilst you and your colleagues are bickering in your party room, aren't you concerned about the message you send to young, vulnerable gay and lesbian Australians that they don't deserve the same treatment as other Australians and that when they are older and they fall in love, they won't be treated as equals with heterosexuals?
Emma, this is an issue in which there is a diversity of sincerely held, strong views on both sides of the argument. And that is, of course, precisely why the government in the lead-up to the last election made a promise to the Australian people that they would have a say on whether or not the definition of marriage in the Marriage Act should be changed, whether the law should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. That is the commitment that we took to the last election, and that is the commitment that the Liberal Party party room today reaffirmed.
The government consistently stuck with the same mantra all week. The following day, Tuesday, the plebiscite policy was ratified by the National Party, who form a coalition with the Liberal Party as government. As had happened in November 2016, it was expected a plebiscite would not pass the Senate and that a postal plebiscite, the government's fallback position, would become the government's official policy. Sections of the Australian media passionately spoke out in favour of marriage equality.
A non-binding, non-compulsory postal vote is complete BS.
Karl Stefanovic is a host on Channel 9's popular nationally broadcast Today Show.
In my opinion, there have been far too many column inches, far too much airtime, far too much taxpayer time and money wasted on an issue I believe should be decided in the Parliament. Why do we elect officials if not to make decisions that reflect our beliefs? So pull your fingers out in Canberra and get on with it. Let's just look at this simply, confidently and compassionately. Why are we stopping people from loving each other? In a world where we should be celebrating love over hate, this decision is a no-brainer. This is more about the fear and naivety of non-gay people than anything to do with the problem with gay marriage.
The unofficial No campaign then began in earnest, with this statement by former controversial Liberal MP Bronwyn Bishop.
The Australian people should be trusted.
She's speaking here on Sky News.
They're saying that the institution of marriage, 1,000 years old, is being tampered with, and if it can be changed from having it a man and a woman to any two people, why not three as it is in Colombia? You've got Professor Peter Singer, who believes that children, if they're disabled, should be put to death at birth.
I'm with you.
And also if there is sex between humans and animals, that's fine.
None of that will be able to happen unless somebody votes for it to happen first.
So
the idea that two blokes getting married somehow equals disabled kids being put to death.
The point I'm making is that people are suspicious of the so-called progressive movement. And at the end of the day, the Australian people will get it right.
The compulsory voter attendance plebiscite bill was reintroduced to Parliament on Wednesday and was quickly rejected in the Senate by Labor and the minor parties, who hold the majority. The Labor Party favour a parliamentary vote on the issue. Former Prime Minister and staunch Conservative Tony Abbott also fired his first volley for the no vote at a hastily organised press conference on Wednesday morning.
If you don't like same-sex marriage, vote no. If you're worried about freedom of speech and freedom of religion, vote no. And if you don't like political correctness, vote no, because this is the best way to stop it in its tracks.
That same day, Tony Abbott's sister Christine Forster made her views known to Channel 10's show The Project.
As a gay woman who's in a relationship, who wants to get married, and Tony is well aware of our plans to get married, it's not a really nice thing to hear somebody belittling our plans to get married, particularly when he's your brother and you love him. It's pretty unpleasant, I have to say, but that's his view. I respect his right to hold his view.
Do you get a sense of there being anything that might be able to turn him on his thoughts about this?
Well, look, he's been put on the spot by his own kids as well. His kids are definitely in favour of marriage equality, and that hasn't persuaded him.
Senator Penny Wong, in a same-sex partnership with two children, gave an emotional speech to the Senate, pointing out the harm a plebiscite would have on LGBTIQ families. Her comments were partly directed at Liberal Senator Matthias Cormann, who had earlier said in the Senate that this could be a unifying moment for the country.
But I tell you, have a read of some of the things which are said about us and our families, and then come back here and tell us this is a unifying moment. The Australian Christian Lobby described our children as the stolen generation. We love our children, and I object, as do every person who cares about children, and as do all those couples in this country, same-sex couples who have kids, to being told our children are a stolen generation? You talk about unifying moments? It's not a unifying moment. It's exposing our children to that kind of hatred.
As the compulsory voter attendance plebiscite had been shot down in the Senate, a non-compulsory, non-binding postal plebiscite or postal survey became the government's official position. The cost to the Australian taxpayer would be $122 million. Prime Minister Turnbull made his position on same-sex marriage clear in the Parliament that day.
I can tell you, in this debate, I will be encouraging Australians to vote yes, and I urge every participant in the debate to act with responsibility and with respect for those on the other side.
It was announced that the postal survey would be carried out by the Australian Bureau of Statistics and not the Australian Electoral Commission, who managed the electoral roll. Much discussion followed in the Australian media as to the value of holding such an expensive exercise when the result would be non-binding on the government. There were accusations made that a postal survey would be biased towards certain sections of the Australian electorate, most notably older voters, as well as fears about postal ballot paper theft. Dr. Liz Allen, a demographer from the Australian National University in Canberra, spoke on the ABC's AM program that day.
The postal ballot, as described so far, is akin to a tear-out return slip that one would find in a magazine. it doesn't capture all of Australia's views or all of the eligible voters' views. And there are many exclusions, for example, people overseas, that may not be able to participate. There are also issues with potential tampering.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number.
The ever creative LGBTIQ community came up with an idea of how to send a message to Malcolm Turnbull. James Breckney is on the board of Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras.
A couple of weeks ago, some friends of ours and me sort of decided we're going to build the Prime Minister a spine to take down to Parliament House, because he needs one. Because everyone's been sort of, it's been a thing on Twitter and stuff in Australia that our Prime Minister's a bit weak on this issue and he's not allowing a free vote to Parliament. So DIY Rainbow and Community Action Against Homophobia are taking this spine down. Funnily enough, on the anniversary of John Howard, a previous Prime Minister, when he changed the marriage laws in 2004 to be exclusively between a man and a woman.
One of Australia's most prominent gay figures, former High Court Judge Justice Michael Kirby, said that a plebiscite was an extraordinary and unnecessary measure on the part of the government.
I feel as a citizen that I am not being respected.
He spoke on the ABC's Breakfast program.
It wasn't done in the case of the advancement of the equal rights of the Aboriginal people. It wasn't done in respect of women's advancement of legal rights. I mean, it's just the complete political improvisation and it's completely unacceptable.
Also that morning, popular TV host David Kosh took Australia's Treasurer and former Immigration Minister Scott Morrison to task on Channel 7's Sunrise program.
Scott Morrison, you can understand why so many Australians are so angry that we're just wasting money on this because you politicians don't have the guts to make the decision yourself.
David, we promised at the last election that we would give all Australians a say on this.
Don't and
we...
give me that. You break election promises that, David. All the time.
Meanwhile, Leader of the Opposition, Labor leader Bill Shorten, gave a rousing speech in Parliament that day.
This $122 million survey denigrates the Parliament. It risks putting Australia in a hell of a place, further behind the rest of the world. But there is one thing this survey will not do. It will not change Labor's support for marriage equality. Yeah. If Prime Minister Turnbull stops blocking marriage equality laws coming to this Parliament, the men and women of the Federal Parliamentary Labor Party will vote for equality in overwhelming numbers. And if it is not resolved by the next election, a new Labor government will legislate to make marriage equality a reality within the first 100 days. I give you this promise. We stand with you. When you don't feel like you have a voice, we will speak up for you. When you feel attacked, we will defend you. When we hear prejudice and discrimination, we will not cross the road and pretend it is not happening. We will call it out. I will be campaigning for a yes vote, and I encourage people to join the movement for marriage equality.
Head of the Australian Christian Lobby and the No campaign, Lyle Shelton, weighed in on the debate on the ABC's Current Affairs show, 7:30 that evening.
We're very united in working together to persuade our fellow Australians that we should retain the definition of marriage. This postal plebiscite is a referendum on freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and safe schools ideology being taught to our children.
On Thursday evening, I spoke to patrons at the Stonewall Hotel in Sydney's Gay Golden Mile, Oxford Street, to ask them what they thought of the postal plebiscite.
I think the plebiscite's a complete waste of time. I don't think straight people should have a say on whether we get married or not.
I think it's silly. I think it's a waste of money, and you already know the right answer.
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's the Liberal Party trying to enforce their internal policy against the sort of democratic process.
As many people have said, that the purpose of the parliament is to reflect the opinions of the people, and they just seem to be abrogating their responsibilities.
On Friday morning, Independent MP Andrew Wilkie, along with LGBTIQ rights campaigner Rodney Croom and Australian PFLAG past President Shelley Argent, lodged an objection to the postal survey in the Australian High Court on the grounds that it was not constitutional.
The High Court has agreed that they will hear this matter with a full bench on the 5th of September.
Andrew Wilkie spoke to the press in Melbourne.
Just to reach this stage is a win for all of those people in the community who have all sorts of concerns about this non-binding voluntary postal vote.
If the High Court challenge fails, the ballot papers are to be sent out from the 12th of September. The date for the return of the ballot papers is the 7th of November, with a result announced on the 15th. And if everything goes to the government's plan, they would hope to have a result by then. Remember, the result of the postal survey is officially non-binding on the Australian government. Some in the government are saying that if the postal survey returns a yes vote, Australia should have marriage equality by Christmas. If the government were really keen to have it sooner rather than later, Australia could have marriage equality next week through a free vote in Parliament. I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney for This Way Out, and thanks also to Michael Barnett and Gregory Storer for their help with putting the information in this report together.
I've been to cities that never closed down. New York to Rio, an old London town. But no matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia homophobic. I'm always travelling, but wherever I stay, people love Aussies and they generally say they think we're kind, fun and funny, tall, tanned and toned, and a little bit racist and a little bit homophobic. It's bad enough these poly assholes pass discriminatory laws, now we're forced to dance the plebiscite jig. But on the upside, this plebiscite might enlighten us. At least we'll know exactly how many Aussies are bigoted. Yay, stats! Woo! Someday we'll all be together once more, once they do their bloody jobs and just change the f***ing law. Then Carrie can marry Sally and Ben can tone in the marriage bed in their Aussie home. So you can shove your cherry-picked Bible passage up your pocket bottom. Your attempt to keep Australia in the past will be a failure, because most of Australia ain't homophobic.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week's program material came from Michael Lebeau and Michelle Yater, produced by Steve Pride, and Barry McKay, with production assistance by Michael Barnett and Gregory Storer. Tim Minchin sang I Still Call Australia Homophobic, The Carpenters and Elvis Presley performed some of the other music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CKDU Halifax, Nova Scotia, KCRL Salt Lake City, Utah, WCRS Columbus, Ohio, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.